My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get it going, man. Happy Football Friday.
Juice.
Let's go.
Yes.
Let's go. Byron, where are you at? Let's go.
What's going on today's Texans football?
It's go. Yeah. No, give us the music, Byron. Be music. Musica. Give it to us. Yeah. Higher, higher, please. Thank you. Ah. Football Friday, baby. How you doing, Seth?
I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. I found myself a little overstimulated this morning.
You are?
Overstimulated this morning.
Okay.
Because I was, the music's still too loud?
Yeah, it's a little too loud. There
okay,
we go.
There we go.
Yeah, all right.
Byron's filling in for Ben this morning.
Yeah.
And Sean's asking me to do 18 things all at once.
We talked about this before the show. I'm not the bad guy in this situation.
Hey, that's my
Ben
bad.
Gary
yeah,
experience. Yeah. Yeah. So I was overstimulated. I was like, oh, there's so much going on there. We had preseason games last night.
Yep.
We've got the Texans versus the Steelers tonight, which I think is going to be more of a – it's going to be more of a true, at least first quarter simulation of an actual game than these last two preseason games we saw. Tomlin's got to figure out what he has in Justin Fields.
Yeah.
And he said, this is where it gets exciting for me, for at least the first quarter. He said that the in-game stuff matters more in his evaluation of Justin Fields or Russell Wilson. So the Texans defense, even though it makes no difference to us really in the grand scheme of things, I like that we could actually, if we play poorly with this highly celebrated defense that hasn't actually stepped on a field yet, by just determining the quarterback race in Pittsburgh. If Justin Fields goes out there and looks hapless and lost, the job is all but Russell Wilson's.
Yep.
But yet I'm pulling for Justin Fields. I'm torn, Sean. It's a preseason game that doesn't matter. But I really, for the sake of the Texans defense being all that has been promised, I think I need them to go out and create 2 turnovers, have Justin Fields go like 1 for 7 for 7 total yards passing and an interception. It needs to be an ugly performance by Justin Fields.
Yeah, that is one of the big reasons to watch or listen to this game tonight is that quarterback battle. And we're going to get into all the Texans angles with this thing, but with you bringing that up, Seth, it's really interesting to watch Tomlin operate with all this, because Russell Wilson's hurt right now. He's got a calf injury. So Justin Fields is going to start this game. And all the talk when they hired Russell Wilson was, like, from the day they signed him, is he's going to be our starter. This was before they traded for Justin Fields. And even when they traded for Justin Fields, there was this narrative that Justin Fields had to kind of accept that he was at least going to start out as the backup in this situation. And boy, this is Justin Fields, I don't know if he's taking a chance or taking a risk or whatever, but you can tell from Tomlin that maybe whatever promises were made to Russell Wilson, I feel like were made a level above him on the org chart. Like this was Omar Khan and the GM just getting the deal done to get Russell Wilson in the building by telling him he'll be the starter. Because Tomlin the other day was like, Russell Wilson is basically the starter. Like, when he was asked about Russell Wilson being the starter, he's like, well, just look at the depth chart. And then, as you point out, he's like, no, the games matter more than the practices. I feel like Mike Tomlin wants Justin Fields to be the starter. I feel like Mike Tomlin thinks Russell Wilson was kind of fed to him.
You know? Well, Russell Wilson and Mike Tomlin couldn't be different in terms of personality matches.
My point, yes.
Tomlin's as real as they come, where Russell Wilson, he's not always been embraced by his teammates or the public at large as real. I wouldn't call him real. He's got an inauthentic vibe to him. Yeah, like Mike Tomlin and A-Rod. Would Mike Tomlin and Alex Rodriguez have gotten along if A-Rod were a football player?
Chance.
I don't think so. There's nothing about Russell Wilson that screams Steeler. So, and I'm not saying that Justin Fields screams Steeler, but I do wonder, especially if you're Tomlin, man, and you're thinking, you know, despite the fact that he's been there forever and it seems like he's got a job for life, there's got to be that part of him that's kind of like, man, I'm not done by a long shot. And I see some good in Justin Fields, and I'd love to develop that. And they've, you know, Tomlin said that Justin Fields has made progress with his footwork. His footwork has always been very erratic, and despite how talented Justin Fields is, he's been very inconsistent because he's got erratic mechanics and footwork because he's gotten away with it.
Yep.
So it sounds like, just like we've seen so many other times with various other athletes, sometimes when they get traded or they get cut for the first time, it's kind of that reality check where they realize, okay, I got to change some things. And maybe Justin Fields has figured some things out and he ends up being the better version of himself in this offense. Because the other part of it, too, is that like Russell Wilson, whose skill set is known at this point, his skill set doesn't really match up and jive well with Arthur Smith's offense. Arthur Smith is the new offensive coordinator. You know, and Arthur Smith loves taking deep shots over the middle, and or just like the Texans, feasting on the intermediate stuff over the middle. That's never really been Russell Wilson's strong suit. He's compensated for his lack of height by kind of throwing touch balls to the outside, scrambling outside the pocket, rolling out, doing all that kind of stuff. So it's fascinating to me. And I know, I don't know if most Texans fans care about it at all or not, but for me, it's one of the biggest storylines of this preseason.
It is around the league. It's one of the biggest storylines of the preseason. So this isn't you just conjuring up some smoke from some team with some team the Texans happen to be playing this weekend to give another reason to watch. It is one of the biggest storylines in the league is that quarterback battle in Pittsburgh. And I think, man, when you lay it out too, Seth, and this brings it kind of back to the Texans, like you watch this Pittsburgh thing playing out. And for me, I just feel so fortunate that we found a quarterback. Because the Steelers are in this pickle because they drafted Kenny Pickett in the first round. And who are they going to get? Another guy who washed out a first-round pick from Chicago. Like, the Steelers and, you know, a half the league are on that gerbil wheel now where they're just trying, scratching two sticks together with former first-round picks, trying to find something. And this goes back to last night for me. There were two games last night. So I sat down in my chair and I watched the Patriots and the Panthers, and I needed bleach to rub my eyes out afterwards because it was so bad. But
it was bad.
It was horrible.
The Panthers are starting their third or fourth string quarterback.
Yeah, what's up with that? Why is Bryce Young not playing in a why is Bryce Young getting some sort of preseason treatment right now? What is that?
Good question. Right? Well, I guess because he's tiny. You have to protect him at all costs.
Protect him. But here's the thing from last night's game that reminds me of the gerbil wheel for QBs here is that the Patriots are one of those teams right now. The Patriots used the third overall pick on Drake May, and the reports out of New England so far is that Drake May is not even the best rookie quarterback in their camp. That Joe Milton, the sixth-round pick, who was a Michigan transfer to Tennessee, has looked better in camp, and he made some play. I'm looking at a video of a scramble he had last night that Albert Breer, who's from New England, makes a great point. He has a video of Joe Milton improvising and scrambling for like 25 yards. And as someone who lived in New England myself, I completely agree with this. He says New England's collective lack of college football knowledge makes it the ideal mark for Joe Milton mania. Like, it's so true. Like, all these chads that are just ready.
They know the Patriots and nothing else. So yeah. They're not a huge college football region.
No.
They don't really, yeah.
They
yeah.
know like two pocket eras of BC football over the last 50 years, and that's it. These are 25,000 people, and that's all there was in the stands last night. Those stands are empty. There were like 25,000 people who were just ready for the Astros to play the Red Sox tonight up there. That's what they're – and they're like, oh, look at this guy run. Look at Milton. Who's Milton? I love this guy.
Speaking of people who had spent a little time at Tennessee, though, we did also see Hendon Hooker, who was able to reach the NFL before he got to the age of 30, which is awesome. He trucked some poor dude that's going to get cut this morning. He got this defensive back or linebacker just got absolutely trucked. So it was. I was excited to see. I'd completely forgotten about Hendon Hooker.
I did too. did he play in the second half of that game?
Must have been. Yeah, okay. I just watch highlights at
okay.
this point.
The yeah. game, yeah, the game's on in our studio here, so I got to keep an eye on that. I need to see that play. I think Hooker's in the game right now. So I'm excited tonight, man. Excited to see little C.J. Stroud, little Stephon Diggs. Well, I'm anxious to see if we see Stephon Diggs. I'm anxious to see if these 20 or so guys that didn't play on or didn't practice, I should say, on Wednesday. The Texans had a long did-not-practice list on Wednesday, and I wonder how many of those were just veteran days off and how much it means for tonight.
I think, you know what, for the most part, we can take most of the things that D'Amico says at face value, other than, you know, there's only a few specific times he dabbles in coach speak, like when he said that Derek Stingley wouldn't travel with a number one receiver the week before he traveled with a number one receiver,
yeah.
which is like A-okay. That's the right kind
of
coach speak.
Yeah.
I don't know. He kind of casually said the other day that the starters will play. But I guess there could be some corollaries to that statement. So just depending on guys like Stephon Diggs.
Yeah,
and
like Diggs, I guess. I mean, you and I weren't there, but Diggs, from the various accounts that we read and from having John Harris on the show, you know, Diggs took a tumble on Tuesday in a collision with Jimmy Ward. You know, he was down for a while. He got back up and practiced. Like, is something like that enough for D'Amico to say, nah? You know, is there a very low threshold for what constitutes being banged up for something like this? You
Jimmy
know?
Ward's a little bit of a wild card at this point, or maybe a loose cannon. I do feel like, man, I've seen too many clips of big collisions by Jimmy Ward in practice on receivers. You know, it's one thing if you're hitting a running back or something when he's running with the ball. I don't need to see hits on receivers as they're catching the ball.
Remember last year when he lit up Dalton Schultz over the middle?
Yeah,
and that wasn't even like an incidental collision. That was like a hit over the middle in a game that he did to Dalton Schultz in training camp last year. Yeah, I'm with you. But you know what? For his own good, like, Jimmy Ward missed games with three different injuries last year. Lighten up, Jimmy. Come on.
You
now.
Know what? When I think of Justin Fields and him, you know, maybe getting a little kick in the rump and figuring some things out when he gets traded. I always think of Kyle Lowry got traded from the Rockets to Toronto and became a completely different player.
Yeah.
And I always use Kyle Lowry because Kyle Lowry was very open about saying, like, yeah, I needed that. I wouldn't have been – when people bemoan the Kyle Lowry trade, he'll say, look, no, I wouldn't have become the player I did if I had stayed with the Rockets. I just didn't get it.
Yep.
But that was back in, what, 2011 or so?
Yeah.
I need a newer example for the kids.
Okay.
Text in 713-572-4610. Who's the best example of an athlete who got traded and just became a completely different player, like matured, grew up, figured some things out?
Oh, okay, I'll think about that during the break, too. Change of scenery, guys. Yeah. Especially young players, you're right. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Off and running on a football Friday, but let's shift over to baseball for a little bit. The cavalry's coming. Is help on the way? We'll find out this weekend a little bit more. We'll talk about that with the app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Astros coming up next.
10. Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, real quick, couple examples. Seth, you were talking about Justin Fields in the open to the show, and maybe he, you know, maybe he finds a second life in Pittsburgh. And I love the Kyle Lowry analogy that you made. You know, Kyle Lowry, hey, he needed to get knocked down, traded, and moved to Toronto before he became a multi-time All-Star, maybe borderline Hall of Famer, as many times as he was on an All-Star team. He was on a championship team in Toronto. Anyways, you said, what are some other examples out there?
Well, and the key there is that Kyle Lowry said that, yeah, I needed that kick in the butt. Yeah. I wasn't, you know, it wasn't, I wasn't going to be the same guy if I had stayed with the Rockets.
I don't know that this guy said this, but, and this was, I'll give credit to a texter, 7330, said, change of scenery guy, almost every pitcher the Astros have signed in the past 7 years. I think the one for me that fits that analogy the best would be Gerrit Cole, who, like Kyle Lowry, was a, you know, first round pick, a highly sought after, highly thought of young player. Actually, was good for a little while in Pittsburgh. He was an All-Star, but then he wasn't. You know, he was a distressed asset when the Astros went and got him, and they turned him into the best pitcher in baseball. You know,
yeah, and I guess the difference there though too is that I think it's, you know, sometimes with a guy like. With a guy like Justin Fields, who's so very naturally talented as a thrower, I don't know if he's ever actually taken any of the coaching that people have given him for his mechanics. Where with Garrett, like when the Astros do it, I think every pitcher that comes into the Astros is very receptive to the changes that they're going to make with him. So it's maybe not a perfect comparison, but I think the Astros are just better at it. Like, I don't know that the Steelers are actually better at changing guys' mechanics or anything else, but I think Justin Fields has had opportunities to have good coaching along the way, and he's probably just not felt like it was as important as it actually has been.
I could see Garrett.
He's got a
dude, couldn't you see Gerrit Cole being that way, though, in Pittsburgh? Where, and I don't know what Pittsburgh's MO is in coaching pitchers. I just know the Astros, when Cole got here, were the gold standard for it. I could see where Cole was a first overall pick in the draft.
Like it, he had a good season and had a flash with Pirates.
Pittsburgh. Yeah. He made the All-Star team 1 year, but then it went backwards for him. You know, there was a reason they made him available.
Yeah,
so
that's probably the best comparison.
Yeah, Cole's a good one. JD Martinez, somebody said. I don't know if that's that's one maybe.
The tricky one with JD Martinez is that he had fixed his swing the year that the Astros let go of him. He just didn't have an opportunity to show it during spring training because Bo Porter didn't give him any at-bats.
That's right.
And I don't blame Bo Porter for that. Like, guys claim they change their swing all the time. But, that is a good example of a guy that became a different player somewhere else.
Yep.
He had actually become a different player already. The Astros just didn't realize it.
Yep. So Justin Verlander, Seth, is set to make a rehab start tomorrow in Sugar Land against the hated El Paso Chihuahuas.
Oh, the Chihuahuas. So, I cannot wait to see Justin Verlander mow down these Chihuahuas.
I've been talking about
Kicking a Chihuahua and hunting a Chihuahua off to Phoenix.
That would be great if he walked out with a stuffed chihuahua to the mound and punted it and then decided and then started mowing him down.
Or just go all Ozzy Osbourne and bite its head off.
Bite the head off a stuffed chihuahua or a real chihuahua would be very edgy. How would you feel? I guess I'm trying to put myself with this one, and the Mariners won last night. We should mention that. So the Astros are once again tied for first. They're a game up in the loss column. They're tied for first with the Seattle Mariners. If you were a Mariners fan, how nervous would you be about Verlander coming back? If you're the team that's chasing the Astros, you know, if you're the team that's in the dogfight with the Astros right now, would the return of Verlander make you nervous?
It's hard in baseball because, you know, one specific player, I don't think anybody necessarily feels it in their bowels. And yet,
it's a big one.
It's one of those things. You know what the Astros have going for them? I think there are a lot of other fan bases and opponents that say, oh, here we go again. Great. So, yeah, I don't know about nervous or whatever it might be. It might just be a feeling of resigning to their fate. That's what it is. They're resigning to the inevitable, which is, whether this is true or not, it'll have the feel of if Verlander comes out, especially if Verlander comes out in his first appearance with the Astros and goes 7 innings of shutout baseball or something, that's where it's going to really feel like, here we go again. All right, great.
Well, it sounds like, and I'm just going off of quotes from Justin Verlander himself over the last few days, it sounds like 75 to 80 pitches is what he feels like he needs to get back to the major league team. Like that's the target that he's working back towards right now. And this will be one of multiple rehab starts that he's going to make in the minor leagues. I don't know if they're both going to be, it sounds like it's a 2-start thing in rehab for him. I don't know if the second one will be at Sugarland also, or if it'll be at Corpus. It'll probably be at what is most geographically beneficial for him. Because here's the warning label we need to attach to this. And we attached the same warning label to Justin Verlander's first stint in the minor leagues earlier this year. This is the second time he's been through this whole rehabbing and injury thing in 2024. Is that don't get too worked up about what the box score looks like, right? Like he's working on some. I just know that there's going to be people who see a tweet tomorrow night that Verlander pitched 3 innings and gave up 5 earned runs, and they're going to be like, "Oh, we're doomed."
Does the average baseball fan really feel that way though? I feel like if you pay attention, just even for a little while, you realize, okay, spring training and rehab starts. The box score doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So I know there's always going to be, you know, people that are reactionary no matter what, but I don't worry too much about that. I think most people get it, that it's just, okay, he's going out, he's going to work on his slider or something like that. He doesn't know any of these batters, and that it's as simple as that.
How huge would a healthy Verlander be right now? Like how much does, if Verlander is healthy, let's say a normal Verlander start in, you know, from now to the rest of the year is like a 6-inning good start. You know, he's not former Cy Young Justin Verlander, you know, but he's enough to be where it's him and Framber and Hunter Brown. Like if Verlander's giving you what Hunter Brown's giving you right now, then the Astros are a player all of a sudden in this thing.
Right.
You know,
giving
you 6 good innings every time out.
Yeah. And it's all about, I mean, every year in the playoffs, it's all about the pitching.
Yeah.
It's constantly and forever. If 2019, 2022, very good offenses, but you're going to go, your bats are going to go dry at times during the playoffs. So, but especially this year where the Astros major league roster has a whole bunch of guys that you never expected to see on the major league roster this year.
Yep.
It's just the world we live in right now. It has to be. Now, and also if you want to look back for history, I mean, just go back to, well, in that 2019 season, that was when, Garrett Cole didn't really turn it on until after the All-Star break.
Yeah, that's right.
That was when everything got super, super crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and with Hunter Brown and Ronel Blanco, you worry about how many innings they've pitched, and Blanco might be showing that fatigue right now, but it's not a foregone conclusion or anything.
Right.
It's just it's a huge unknown right now as to how they're going to fare throughout the duration.
Yep. So that'll be good if Verlander can make it back healthy. I'm more worried about Blanco than I am Hunter Brown. Hunter's still pitching at a really high level right now, other than one or two glitchy starts. Like he's still really good, and I feel like the one full season he's had so far has probably prepared him better for what August and September are going to look like than Ronel Blanco might be prepared for. Like Ronel Blanco has burst on the scene this year, and he's been incredible. His ERA even though he's been a little less imposing of late, his ERA is still below three. Like, on the aggregate, he's still having a great, great season. He concerns me more than Hunter Brown does, right? But here's the thing. One of them's going to have to contribute. one of them is going to have to be part of at least one, maybe both, are going to have to be part of this rotation come postseason time.
I feel like Spencer Arrighetti is he gets lost in the mix in a weird way, because obviously you see him pretty regularly, but I feel like he's closing the envelope, where remember it was either like you'd get a performance where he looked like a future all-star, and then you'd get a performance like maybe he would be in single A next year.
Yeah.
And you've started to close the window a little bit there. He's had, you know, his 7-run outing is long in the rearview mirror now. And now you're either going to – he's got anywhere between 1 and 3 runs given up in an outing. So I'm just parking him right there, that I feel like at the very least you've got a viable starter there.
Yeah, I think he's probably more of a – like if they get hit with another injury in the rotation, then he's the guy, you know, when the postseason rolls around, he'll have to pitch. You know, that's just, there's no other, like, the solutions are all internal now. Like, there's no, go pick up this guy, go pick up that guy. What are you shopping for? Like, the solutions for the Astros to get back to their 8th straight ALCS and hopefully a World Series is Justin Verlander has to get healthy and start pitching well again. Kyle Tucker has to get healthy and be Kyle Tucker again. And outside of that, man, you're kind of like spinning a roulette wheel with a bunch of young minor league guys and hoping you got something there. That's it. Like Gene Hackman said in Hoosiers, my team is on the floor. This is our team right here, man. There's no reinforcements coming other than on the internal. Someone said on the text page, as an example of what you were talking about, Seth, the Kyle Lowry, potentially Justin Fields dynamic of a young player needing a kick in the butt and a change of scenery. I don't know that this was – I don't think there was a kick in the butt involved in this one. This was more just he's a young guy that got thrown into a trade for an older all-star, but Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is a great one. That's like probably an extreme version. He was runner-up for the MVP this year in Oklahoma City. He was a Clipper that was part of the Paul George trade. God, what a lopsided trade that was, man. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and a bleep ton of first-round picks for Paul George. And SGA is like the third best player in the NBA.
Yeah, so it's it's a side topic to this game tonight. It just happens to be Justin Fields versus Russell Wilson's one of the bigger stories in the NFL right now.
Did you see yesterday the report that the Niners are reportedly looking for 2 first-round picks for Brandon Ayuk?
Yes.
Did you have? Yeah, they ain't getting that, right? They're not.
I don't. Yeah, they're so they're after some people were reporting that a deal was all but done with the Steelers.
Right.
Now it's that the 49ers aren't actually happy with the return they're going to get from the Steelers. And George Pickens is a big question mark and all that. I saw Brett Coleman, Texans fan who has a really, really good YouTube channel where he does a lot of hardcore analysis. He made the point that, you know, in Arthur Smith's offenses, like in Tennessee, they had A.J. Brown and a dominant running back. You got to remember that.
Yes.
But that maybe Arthur Smith doesn't really need to have George Pickens and Brandon Ayuk on the roster. That maybe the Steelers would be more willing to relinquish George Pickens than I might feel.
Yeah.
Because he lines up in 2 wide receiver sets, feasts on play action, all of that. I don't know, man. I'd have a hard time letting go. I'd have a hard time letting go of George Pickens for Brandon Ayuk unless George Pickens is a pain in the ass, which I behind the scenes, which he might be. I don't know. He's got a pretty combative personality.
He was coming into the league. That's why he was a second round pick. You know.
Yeah.
So I don't know what he's. I don't follow the Steelers closely enough day to day to know if he's still an issue. I know he's super talented. That's for sure. But yeah, reportedly looking for 2 first-round picks. That store's closed now in the NFL, I think. Teams have gotten smarter. Teams have gotten smarter, by and large, about giving multiple high picks for the right to overpay somebody. You know, the teams don't want to get double whammied anymore. They don't want to give up the draft capital to then have to go make somebody the highest-paid guy.
You know what the thing, though, is? I've learned it's that there really is, when it comes to especially wide receiver trades, it seems, there is no market. You know, there is no set in standard price, and some guys get traded You know, Brian Burns ended up going for, I thought for sure Brian Burns would have at least gotten a first round pick. But I think a lot of it comes down to just which team is most desperate. And I wonder if the 49ers are willing to just wait and see if somebody gets really desperate and feels like, okay, this is the one thing that's going to put us over the top for a Super Bowl.
They 100% are, because I think they're perfectly fine going into the season with Brandon Ayuk playing out his contract. You know what I mean? Like, they're perfectly fine. The Niners are in a great position of strength in so much as, like, Brandon Ayuk's only choice, if he's still with the Niners, really is to just go play out the season and have a really good season. And the Niners feel like a team that's built to deal with any sort of disgruntlement with Brandon Ayuk. They've got a strong culture there. I just, you know, like a lot of these wide receivers, Seth, this offseason that were in these contract situations where it started to get bandied about, like, oh, this could be the new Devontae Adams trade or the new Tyreek Hill trades. And those trades were actually successful for those teams that made those deals. I just don't think teams have the appetite to do that by and large anymore.
DJ Moore was a first round pick swap. Like,
DJ Moore was part of the Bryce Young trade.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to think of, like, the receivers that have, like, what's the biggest compensation over the last couple of years for wide receiver trades?
Yeah, they almost threw DJ Moore into that deal just to get the deal done. That was wild. Like, you know, he was part of that big package to go to the Bears. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Headlines. We've got preseason football tonight, 6 o'clock, kickoff, 3 o'clock. Texans countdown. We'll set up the Astros series with the Red Sox this weekend. And we've got more drama in the wide receiver market, not named Brandon Ayuk. And we've got a retirement in the NFL as well. We'll get to all that coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, Texans tonight, circle it, make a note, 3 o'clock today. That's when Texans countdown begins. Game kicks off in Pittsburgh. 6 o'clock tonight. Post-game afterwards, it'll be me and Clint Sterner, me and Seth on the countdown show beginning at 3. We'll get to the Texans that I am most looking forward to seeing in tonight's game at 7 o'clock today. Individuals, a six-pack of individuals. As far as, like, position groups or position battles or Texan-on-Steeler-type stuff, Seth, what's the biggest thing you're looking for tonight? Like,
Texan on Steeler in general. Okay, so to start off very generally, I'm just going to say the Texans defense versus Justin Fields specifically.
Yep.
Because the Steelers, as of a couple days ago, Tomlin only listed Russell Wilson and their starting left guard as the guys who would not play. So by and large, the Texans defense is going to be going against the starting Steelers offense.
Mm-hmm.
And It's not like a Steelers offense of old, but it's going to be starters. And it's going to be versus a mobile quarterback. And it's impossible. Whenever you say mobile quarterback and you think about the 2023 Texans season, Anthony Richardson right off the bat rushing for 2 touchdowns in the first quarter of a game, that looms large. And obviously, the team would improve after that point. That was very early in the season. But they didn't really get tested and challenged that many times by dual threat quarterbacks.
Nope.
So Justin Fields, who was second in the NFL in rushing amongst quarterbacks last year, third in attempts, I'd be really surprised if they don't have a zone read element built into this offense this year. And it's, you know, we saw Tannehill when Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator, was in Tennessee. We saw that element with Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
You know, he was the classic, he's faster than you think he is.
he played receiver.
This former college wide receiver who happens to be white is faster than you think he is.
That's right.
And that was one of the things that made that Tennessee offense hard to defend. And, you know, Justin Fields is a better example of that, I think. So I'm curious to see, A, does the Texans' defensive line generate a pass rush as ferociously as they have against the Texans in practice? And B, do they do a good job of corralling him? And then really, one of the biggest things the Texans struggled with last year defensively was the play action. Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator, is really good at the play action.
That's his deal, man, yeah.
The linebackers, even though we're not going to see Christian Harris, the linebackers versus play action, the safeties versus play action, all of that, very, very excited to watch what it looks like tonight.
I think as far as the Texans go on the offensive side of the ball, this is just purely a guess for me, but I think if C.J. Stroud, I think C.J. will start, A. B, I think if he takes them on a drive like Davis Mills did on the first drive of the game last week, you know, 12 plays, 76 yards, burns 6 minutes a clock. I think that'll be it for CJ for the night. I think if he goes three and out, I think he's probably back out there for a second series, that kind of thing. I could see that being how CJ gets used. Like last year's Patriots game in the preseason. The Texans played the Patriots in the first preseason game. CJ was a starter. He threw a pick, I think, or on his first series. And, okay, well, get back out there. Don't throw a pick this time, you know.
Right, right. Yeah, that first Patriots game, remember, that was one of the – after that first Patriots game in the preseason, a lot of people were claiming victory in the Bryce Young versus CJ Stroud.
They were.
Because Bryce Young, he'd been a starter since minicamp. Yep. Look at CJ Stroud. Can't even not throw interceptions.
Yep.
And then he would go on to set rookie records for not throwing interceptions.
literally throw the least number of interceptions.
Yeah, stat line that looked like Tom Brady and Joe Montana's when it came to touchdowns versus interceptions.
That's the truth. That's the literal truth right there. So 6 o'clock kickoff tonight, Texans Steelers. You can hear it right here on Sports Radio 610. We mentioned in the previous segment, Justin Verlander is set to make his return to at least active baseball against opponents. He has a rehab start tomorrow in Sugar Land against El Paso. This will be one of multiple rehab starts that Verlander plans to make. The goal is to get him back to throwing 75 to 80 pitches comfortably. The Astros are in Boston this weekend for the next series and what is a really long road trip for them. This is a pretty interesting series when it comes to the standings. The Astros right now are in first place in the AL West, but it's by percentage points. The Mariners won yesterday, so it's back to a virtual tie for first place. The Astros are ahead by a few one-thousandths of a percentage point. But let's just, in the wild card race, plunk the Astros down where the Mariners are, because that's kind of where they would be if they were chasing a wild card. They would be 2.5 games back of the Boston Red Sox for the first team out of the wild card race. So this is a big series as sort of a hedge in case the Mariners start to catch fire here a little bit. Like the Astros may have to backdoor their way in by getting that fifth or sixth spot in the wild card.
Which,
the Red Sox stand in between them and the wild card right now.
Yeah, this is it's getting fun, man. Yeah. It could have been fun when it at the end of last season when it ended up more just being like, oh, I hope I survive this car crash.
Yeah,
because you had to rely on the Rangers to give you some help to get into the playoffs.
Yep,
I think that. I'm excited about this all coinciding with the return of Justin Verlander. Because really, Sean, all they have to do to really, you know, feel good about this team going to the playoffs, all they have to do is pull together an all-time impressive pitching staff performance for the next month and a half.
That's all you have to do. Yeah.
That's all you have to do is pitch like you have four Cy Young winners on the staff. Remember 2019?
I was going to say.
Double that. That's all I'm asking for, okay? Yeah,
four Cy Young winners.
I mean,
winners.
Come on. Can you give me something here?
Yeah. You know what will be strange is this, in all likelihood, barring real bad collapses from teams in the AL Central and the AL East, is that for the first time in this new format, the Astros will likely have to play a wild card series. You know, the last 2 years, they've just sat around for a week, stacked up their pitching rotation the way they want it, watched the other teams beat up on each. It helped. If you're trying to get to an ALCS, it helps to only have to win one series to get there, not two.
It's also in with a short series, too, because we've had the thrill of the one-game series, but that was when everything was fresh and new, and it was just fun that you beat the Yankees. So that was just cool. That was where really the true beginning of the domination of the Yankees began.
Yeah.
But this will be, man, there's just so much randomness in that.
Yeah.
And there's just so much left to chance in a 3-game series, but it'll be fun. In the scariest way possible.
Yep. The Jerry Jones, CeeDee Lamb contract standoff has now turned into, we've gotten to the all important, CeeDee Lamb getting agitated on social media phase of this, Seth. Jerry Jones said yesterday in a media availability, he, quote, doesn't have any urgency to get a deal done with CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb retweeted a tweet with that quote with an LOL and then proceeded to scrub America's team from his bio on.
Oh no!
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not America's team anymore.
Yeah. Well, it was on his bio.
This is the official proclamation now. I was always led to believe that the Cowboys, one of the most reviled franchises in all of sports, was also somehow America's team. But maybe this is the first indication that they aren't actually.
Yeah,
America's
yeah.
team.
So it wouldn't appear CeeDee Lamb and the Cowboys are very close to getting a deal done. I don't know what Jerry Jones is doing, man.
Jerry Jones is making it about Jerry Jones. Yep. It is, and
I do know what he's doing
about Jerry Jones. Honestly, he pulled off an incredible fraud for 30 years. Mm-hmm. Like, he's better than Madoff when it comes to just like Bernie Madoff had some really promising early returns. They won those Super Bowls in the 90s. And then he went Sean, it's been 30 years since their last Super Bowl and conference championship appearance. And yet, this is the first year where Cowboys fans are like, hey, wait a second. I called to make a withdrawal, and they said that they don't have it right now. Yeah. What the hell is going on?
He's Bernie Madoff.
So they're not showing up at training camp. Yeah. People are done with Jerry Jones up in Arlington.
I respect Cowboy fans finally speaking with their availability at training camp, man.
They're finally rejecting the lies their grandparents told them.
Yes, yes.
They're like, oh, wait a second.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I'm 30 years old, and I've never actually seen a Super Bowl victory out of this team that claims to be America's team.
Nick Foles will retire as an Eagle. He announced that yesterday. The Olympic men's hoops team almost lost to Serbia yesterday. That was a fun game to watch, but man, that was dicey. 95-91, they win that game. All right, our baseball talk is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at t-mobile.com/switch. All right, up next, I got my six-pack of Texans to watch tonight. And there's one huge one. There is a Texan tonight who might be one of the most popular, if not the most popular Texan, who this is kind of a sort of a career game for him tonight.
I'm gonna shotgun this beer in your six pack.
Okay.
Yeah, this one I'm excited about. I'm gonna shotgun it and then smash the can against my head.
I love it. We'll do that coming up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.